I had an opportunity to listen again to an audio book that I had purchased some time ago, a C.S. Lewis book, The Problem of Pain. And C.S. Lewis was a famous Christian apologist, I think they call it. And I would recommend it for your reading. It's not easy reading. He was a scholar, and he writes like a scholar. But it put me in mind of basically just the issue of pain and the issue of suffering. And today I wanted to talk to you about the good that comes from suffering. We've all been faced with suffering. It comes in many forms. It can be physical pain. It could be an accident. It could be an injury. It could be a temporary condition. It could be a prolonged condition or even a permanent condition. And likewise, it can be emotionally based. And sometimes maybe that's the most hurtful of sufferings, those that are based in emotion, such as the loss of a loved one. And when we look at suffering in our own judgmental ways, we say it's either deserved or undeserved, but we really can't make that kind of call. But however we want to define suffering, we all know that it's a fact of life. We're familiar with that saying, the only thing that's certain in this life are death and taxes, and I think we ought to say death, taxes, and suffering. In fact, some would even say that death is a welcome respite from suffering. The Bible gives us a number of examples of suffering. In Genesis, the story of Joseph is told. Joseph was one of many brothers, and his brothers hated him so that they plotted together to kill him. And they didn't kill him because they did not wish to grieve their father, but they did what they thought was the next best thing, and they sold him into slavery into Egypt. And when he was sold into slavery in Egypt, he was sold to Potiphar, who was an officer of Pharaoh. And he was in Potiphar's house. In fact, he was in charge of Potiphar's house, and he did right, but yet Potiphar's wife accused him, and he was thrown into prison for something he did not do. He was in prison for 2 years and was called from prison only when Pharaoh needed someone to answer his dreams. And as we know, after that, Joseph won a position in Pharaoh's government and ultimately came to be in charge of Egypt, and during the time of famine was one who basically saved the country. And it got so bad that even Joseph's family eventually came to Egypt, and they came to ask for relief from their suffering. And lo and behold, who did they see but the brother that they had sold into slavery? And Joseph, in this position, would have obviously, by many's estimation, been totally justified in taking the power that he now had and turning it against his brothers, but he did not. And he said to them in Genesis, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as is this day, to save many people." If we're talking about undeserved suffering, we don't need to look any further than Job. Job was a righteous man in God's eyes. He had family, possessions, lived a good and righteous life, and then in a very short time lost all of his possessions, lost his children, lost his health. He ended up destitute, childless, and broken. And his wife, who was, shall we say, of a little less strong faith, suggested to him that he should curse God and die. But in all these things, Job did not accuse God of wrongdoing. He didn't question God's love, justice, or sovereignty. He didn't sin, nor did he foolishly charge God. And it's also interesting to see that Job, in this time of trouble, didn't attribute these horrendous events to the devil. But he recognized that trouble would touch him, as it touches us, with God's approval. And Job authored the famous line, "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." And we look to that, we have to be moved. I'm moved that in the midst of all of the suffering, his response to the great affliction was to praise God. When we look at our suffering and our problems, we should look to see the good in suffering. God uses suffering to reveal and reinforce our faith. We all try to avoid suffering. It's only naturally human that we try to avoid pain, and that's a good idea. But obviously, we can try as hard as we wish, but we will not avoid suffering. And when God permits trouble to come to us, we should realize that it may just be that we need it. One of the things that suffering accomplishes is it assists us to become more holy. In John 15:2, the Lord said, "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bring forth more fruit." And the purpose of this pruning is that we may be more fruitful. In 1 Peter, it is written, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And then lastly, in James, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience." So suffering helps us to become more holy. Suffering also gives us a better perspective on this world. This world can be very attractive. We can be successful. We can have a lovely house, a good job, be blessed with health, have a decent income, family, all of the things that bring us joy. And the Lord does not wish us to not prosper, not be successful. But occasionally, a little suffering brings us into a better focus on the limited nature of this life and where we should be looking for our future home. A taste of suffering from time to time reminds us that our focus should not be on the pleasures of this world. And it also reminds us how quickly things can change in this world. The treasures of this world are not permanent. Suffering prompts us to focus on the fact that we're not going to be here very long. It's really easy in this life to settle in and to think to yourself, you know, life is good. Everybody says that phrase, and it's true. For many of us, life is good. And we fall into the trap that whenever our life is good, we just presume that it's going to continue to be good. And maybe even it's good because I deserve it to be good. And that's problematic. So occasionally the Lord has to tap us on the shoulder with a little suffering to let us recognize that even though we are blessed, that it is not because of what we do that we are blessed. And we should not look to this world to be our reward. Abraham looked for a city whose foundations and builder and maker was God. Paul had an interesting perspective on affliction, and he quite rightly said that it was temporary, just as this life is. He said, "For I do not consider the suffering of this present time to be worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." So suffering serves the good of helping us to look beyond today's rewards and today's struggles. Suffering also helps us to be sympathetic towards others who we see are suffering. As Christians, when we see someone in pain, we should seek to be a comfort to them. The suffering of others gives us a perspective both on their struggles and our own. Suffering serves another purpose in that it puts us on our knees when we have no place to turn. Suffering can reveal our weaknesses, our helplessness, and our powerlessness. A lot of misses there. If things are going right for us, we think we could pray it's all going to be well. But it's only when we have hardships that we come to realize how weak and helpless we are. We will ask God to take away our troubles, yet it just may be His will that we are to endure and persevere through our troubles. It's sort of like the parachute. A lot of people liken God to a parachute. I got to have it, but I'm only going to use it if I need it. And that's not the perspective we should have. We need to ask that God's will be done, not ours, and recognize that even though what we are suffering is not what we want or even imagined, that there is a purpose in it, and we should look beyond our suffering to God. Which brings me to the next benefit. Suffering makes us more dependent upon God. If we are dependent upon ourselves, we will ultimately fail. It's quite different and humbling and, I believe, harder to depend on the Lord. Our fellowship with Christ is the basis of pleasing our God. In John 15:5, Jesus said, "For without me, you can do nothing." God will put us in situations that are seemingly too much for us so that we can learn that no situation is too much for Him. When we become affected by our surroundings, when our lives become less and less dependent upon God, and our interests become more and more worldly, we need a little suffering. Paul told us that God's grace is sufficient. It's more than enough for our present circumstances at all times, and we do not need anything else. As hard as it is to learn to appreciate suffering, it's through suffering that we can become the recipient of God's greatest resource, His grace. And lastly, suffering is of benefit because it is a proper response to suffering that glorifies God. In 1 Peter, it's written that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tested with fire, might be found unto praise, honor, and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. The fire doesn't hurt the gold, it purifies it. As in the scripture that was read earlier, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. And I point out in that scripture that it doesn't say only the good things work for good, but also the unpleasant and the distasteful. In everything, we are to give thanks, for it is the will of God that we do so. This is difficult, but through a little practice, it becomes easier, and we do see the rewards. For there's no situation that is so chaotic that God cannot, from the situation, create something that is surpassingly good. Close in prayer. Lord, we thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your love. Teach us to learn that even through suffering, even through trials, that You are there for us. That if we cannot see that which You intend, that which is Your will, that we will grow in faith and learn to trust You and to ask that Your will be done and not ours. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.